Okay, so I see that you're really zipping along in these recordings over here. So trying to keep up the pace over here. So we'll start now with the next Mishnah on Ches Amud Aleph. So the Mishnah says, Hazorek Evan the Rishus HaRabim. The one who throws a stone to a Rishus HaRabim, to a public area, Vaharag and kill somebody. So the Hey Zion is Harei Ze. Behold this one, this individual, Gola. Excuse me. This individual goes to Golas, is liable to Golas for throwing the stone into the Rishus HaRabim. Now, we'll see. Wait for the Gemara, because the Gemara is going to ask on this. Why would that be called Golas? Why is that negligence? Why is that called a shogeg? Why is that an accident for which a person would be chayav golus? It sounds more like a deliberate action of killing somebody, of gross negligence. But okay, so right now the Mishnah says he is liable to golus. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says, im mekashiyotzasa ha'evan miyado. If, now this word, m, from, kusha, when, yotzasar, it departed. If from when it departed, ha'evan, the stone, miyado, from his hand, hotzi, hala es rosho, the word hala means the other one, referring to the victim. So, Hotzi Hala, the other one, Hotzi, extended, stuck out, as Rosho, his head, the Kibla, and received it, Harizeh Potter. Behold, this one, the one who threw it, is going to be Potter, is exempt. So Rashi says, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Mefaresh, Mefaresh time of Gemara, it's going to explain the reason in the Gemara. Next case in the Mishnah. Zorak es ha'evan. Excuse me. Zorak es ha'evan l'chatzero. He threw the stone l'chatzero to his courtyard. V'horag and killed. Im yesh reshos l'nizek l'ikonis l'shab. If there is permission to the nizek, for the nizek, for the victim, Likonis Lashon, to enter in the Golas, and then the one who threw the stone would be Chayv Golas. Ve'im Lav, and if not, in a Gola, he would not be Chayv Golas. Shenema, as it says in the Pasuk, we've had this Pasuk before, the previous page. Va'ashayov Esre'eu Beyar, the case the Torah describes is that one who comes to his friend Beyar in the forest. Upon which we darshan, Mar Ya Rishus Lenizek Lemazik Likonis Lashom. Just as the forest is a Rishus, or actually, just as a forest there is Rishus, there is permission for a Nizek and the Mazik Likonis Lashom to go in there, to go into there, to enter into there. Af Kol, even all, or also all places where a Chiv Golas would take place, is a Rishus. As a where there's permission, l'nizik l'mazik l'kodes l'shom, where there's permission for a nizik and a mazik to enter in there. But yotza chotza, to the exclusion, yotza, to the exclusion of a chotza, of a courtyard, of a balabayas, of the householder, she'en rishus l'nizik l'kodes l'shom, where there is not permission for a nizik l'kodes l'shom to enter in there. Abba, another case in the Mishnah, Abishol Omer, Abishol says, Macha Tovas Eitzim, just as the chopping of wood is a Rishus, is a voluntary activity, so Afkol Rishus, also all cases of Golas have to be situations of a voluntary activity. Yotza, to the exclusion of Ha'av HaMakas Bano, of the father, who's striking his son. Rashi explains on that. Ha'aves makas beno. lahatoso lederach acheres, to incline him to a different path. There's actually a little Bach notation of the Bach over there. Bach changes that to derech ha'emes, to direct him or to incline him to the derech ha'emes, to the path of truth. So that's an obligation. So that's not a voluntary activity, the act of a father striking his son. We'll see more of this in the Gemara. And it continues the Mishnah, v'harava rodes talmido, a teacher who is rode, means to chastise, talmido, his student. This is also a mitzvah. And finally, the Mishnah says, v'shlich bezdin, an agent of the court. Rashi says, Hamalka Arboyim, who's striking somebody 40, Lachayv Malkus, for someone who's liable to Malkus, someone who's obligated Malkus. So these are mitzvahs. And in these cases, if the father, the teacher, or the Shlich Bezdin should accidentally kill the person he's striking, he would not be Chayv Galus in these cases because they're all doing a mitzvah. So now the Gemara now addresses the first line of the Mishnah, the first case of the Mishnah of Hazarik Evan, the Rishus Rabbin, Vaharag Azegola. Someone who throws a stone at the Rishus Rabbin and kills, he's going to be Chayv Galus. So the Gemara says, the Rishus Rabbin to a Rishus Rabbin. If this person is throwing something into the Rishus Rabbin, why would that be Chayv Galus? Mazed who? He's doing this deliberately. This is a deliberate act. So the Gemara answers, Amr Shmuel Bar Yitzchok. Shmuel Bar Yitzchok says, no, the Mishnah is talking about this case, Besosa es Koslo. It's somebody who is dismantling, breaking down his kosel, his wall. So he's not standing there throwing stones into the Rishus Rabbin. Rather, I mean, he is throwing the stones, but he's not standing there deliberately just chucking stones into the street. It's rather the situation of dismantling of his wall, and he's just throwing the stones over there. He's not preoccupied with targeting anybody or targeting the Rishus Rabbim. He's preoccupied with dismantling the wall. But the Gemara is not satisfied with that and says, but nevertheless, Ibai Lele Yune. It's necessary for him to pay attention, to look to see where he's throwing the stones. That's not an excuse. Le Yune, from the word ayin, to see, to look. The Gemara responds, Besosas Kos Belaila. Now we're talking about a case where he's dismantling his wall during the night, and there's no one around, and he can't really see so well. But nonetheless, the Gemara says, "Balayla nami baylele yune." It's not a good answer. At nighttime, also, it's necessary for him to pay attention to look. These are not good answers. The Gemara then responds and says, "Besoses kosel ashba." We're talking about a case where he's dismantling his wall into a ashba, into a trash pile. So if he's doing it into a trash pile, there's no expectation of people to be there, and therefore it's not deliberate, it's not considered a mazid, it's not considered negligence. On the other hand, there's a possibility that someone could be there, but very unlikely. At this point, the Gemara is assuming it's extremely unlikely someone should be there in a trash pile, and therefore there's not really a it's not considered a gross negligence or a deliberateness on the part of the one who's throwing the stone, and that would be a better possibility. But the Gemara still wants to understand this better. The Gemara says, "Hayash behechi domi, this trash pile hechi domi. What is it? What's the case exactly? What's hechi domi? What is the case of the trash pile? Because ish chichi bar rabim, if the multitude are frequented in it." If people do go there, if there's a lot of people, then it's back to square one, Pesheyahu. It's called gross negligence. And he wouldn't be Chayv Galus. And Ilosh Kichi Bar Rabim, and on the other hand, if it's not common for people to be there, if it's not Shchich, it's not frequented by Rabim, by the multitude, so then it's on us. It's considered an unavoidable accident. So what is it? So the answers are a pauper explains, lo tzricha ella. It's not necessary. The rule of the Mishnah is not necessary, except for la ashba asui liponisba, for a trash pile which is used to relieve oneself in it. That's the kind of trash pile we're talking about. Actually, one more word, belila, at nighttime. It's a trash pile which is used to relieve oneself in it at nighttime. Rashi explains here, lifanis ba b'nei adam l'nikveihem, people l'nikveihem for their, literally their pipes. I mean, it's referring to relieving oneself as opposed to just urinating. So it's used for relieving oneself. Actually, maybe I'll take that back. I don't know if it actually just means specifically that. It could mean both. But the kovim, like we say in the bracha, the kovim chalulim chalulim. So the kovim are the holes, for their holes literally. But the adulim, so it could refer to both acts of relieving oneself. But the point here is this: is it's more common. I mean, so it's used for someone to use this at nighttime. At nighttime. And ve'ena suya, the Gemara continues, ve'ena suya lipanis ba biyom, and it's not used to relieve oneself in it biyom during the day. However, ve'ika de mikre ve'yosef, the ra, ve'ika, and the ra, you have to put the word some, there are some people, de mikre, that happen upon it, they happen to be there, they happen upon this trash pile, ve'yosef, and sit there during the day. I mean, it's normally used at nighttime. It's never used at night. It's not really used for during the day. But it's once in a while, somebody could come there during the day, right? Ve'ikah demikre, and Rashi says that. Rashi says ve'ikah demikre. There are some demikre that happen upon it. Ve'yasev and sit liponis biyom to relieve oneself during the day. Which again, the lashon of sitting implies it's just used for that activity of sitting and relieving oneself. But I don't know. But that's the scenario over here. That there are some people who happen upon it, v'yosef, during the day, and sit there during the day. So the Gemara explains, posheya lohava, gross negligence, it's not, lohava, it's not. It's not called gross negligence. Why? Toha ena su liponis ba biyom, because, that behold, ena su, it's not used, liponis, to relieve ba oneself in it, sorry, to liponis, to relieve oneself ba in it, biyom, during the day. But ones nami lo hava, unavoidable accident, also it's not. Why? Dohi ikka de mikre v'yosef, that behold, there are some that happen upon it, v'yosef, and sit there during the day as well. So that's we've narrowed the case down to a situation where he's dismantling his wall during the day into a ashpa, which is used for relieving oneself during the at nighttime only, and he's doing it during the day, and it happens to be that there's someone there sitting there during the day, and he kills him, and then he's going to be chayv golos. Okay,
so we'll start the next part of the Gemara is going on the statement of Reb Eliezer ben Yaakov in the Mishnah that says mekashiyotzasa ha'eva miyado, when the stone leaves his hand, Hotzi Allah as Rosha, the other person put his head out, the Kibla, and received it, Harizah Potter. So then the one who threw the stone would be Potter from Golas, because the victim extended his head to receive the projectile upon him. So the Gemara brings a Braisa, Tana Rabbanu, he learns in a Braisa. Umotza, the Pasuk says in this parasha of the chopping the wood, Motza, the person found the victim, literally. So, as the pasuk says, "Umotza esre'eyu meis," he or it found his friend and he died. And that's going on the chip which is falling out, or the head of the axe, depending how you learn the pasuk. But the point is, it finds. That's the emphasis. It finds the victim. So the Gemara says, the Braisa says, the word matzah is prat. The word prat means detail, but it means to exclude. Lamamtzi esru at atzmo comes to exclude someone who finds himself. Mamtzi, the one who finds as atzmo himself. So the Gemara explains, mikan, from here, Amar Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, in Mishiyotzah Ha'evin, if after the stone left miyado, his hand, Hotzi Allah, the other person, extended as Rosh, his head, the Kibla Potter. He's exempt. So Rashi explains, Umotza, and it found, mashma, shehu sham, that the victim is already standing there, shehu sham, that he is there, umotso, and found him, nishiras neshal habarzel, the falling off of the falling of the iron. Again, depending upon whether it's the chip or the iron head coming off, whether it's the nishiras neshal habarzel, the falling off, or the neshal, or the falling off of the barzel of the iron. Prat lemamtia atzmo, excluding the one who finds himself, Rashi says, achri chein, afterwards, hotzi halah, the other one extended or stuck out, as rosho, his head, minachalon, from the window, v'kibel ha'evan b'mitzcho, and he received the stone b'mitzcho on his head, on his forehead. So that's the drasha. So the emphasis is in the word motza. That's the key word, motza. The object found the victim as though the victim was standing there already, to the exclusion of where the victim then puts his head out when after the thing has already been thrown out of the person's hand. As again, the emphasis is the victim is standing there already and the object is finding him. So the Gemara asks a kasha on this. The Gemara says, lememra, to say, de motza mi'ikara mashma. Does this mean to say that the word motza, the word motza mi'ikara, from beforehand, mashma, it implies? Meaning to say, like we've been saying, that the word matz implies that the object, the victim, is already there from beforehand. The problem with this, says the Gemara, Reminahi will throw a contradictory drasha against this. And this pasuk, the next pasuk the Gemara quotes, is a pasuk in the parsha of the Geula, the redemption of land which is sold. It's a parsha in Vayikra Chof Hei. And this specific case is speaking about a person sells his land and now he wants to redeem it back. It's the land of his heritage, of his inheritance, and he wants to now redeem it back from the person who bought it. So the pasuk says, the whole pasuk reads, the hesiga yodo, I'm just reading from the side of the Gemara, the hesiga yodo umotza kadei gulaso, which means that his hand reaches umotza and finds kadei sufficiency gu'ulaso for its redemption. So the one who sold it now has the money to be able to buy back the land which he sold. So the Gemara picks up on this word motza, and he found the money now to be able to buy it back. But, says the Gemara, prat lemotzui, this comes to exclude it comes to exclude something which is already found. Whereas he finds the money, meaning he attains the money, but not if the money was already there, if he already had the means to be able to buy back the property in the first place. Meaning to say, as the Gemara explains, shlo yimko barachok v'yigol b'karav, that he shouldn't sell a distant land, a piece of land which is far away, v'yigol b'karav, and then go ahead and redeem back the land which is close to him. For example, if he had sold a piece of land which is close by, but he already had a piece of land far away, that he could have just sold that one in the first place. He need not have sold the closest one to him, because he has the means, the money, to be able to buy, to keep the land which he already has. He could have sold the more distant lands. It means he had the finances. And it was the only time that a person is allowed to buy back the property, the land which he'd sold, is only if he never had the money in the first place. But here, we're saying shalom ko barachok, he shouldn't sell the distant one, the yigal b'karav, and then redeem back the close one. Or another example, bara, the yigal b'yofa, sell an inferior bad land, the yigal, and redeem b'yofa, and redeem the nicer land which he had sold. So in these two scenarios, he already had the means to be able to keep the two properties or the two types of property that he's now selling, either the karav, the close one, or the nicer one. And he could have just sold the more inferior land or the more distant land, and these circumstances would not now allow him to buy back the land when he now decides to change his mind to go and buy back the property. So only specifically, he has nothing else, and he's selling these lands of his inheritance, of his heritage, and now he has no other means to keep. He has no other way to make money but by selling these properties. So then later on, he's allowed to redeem them back. But the point is, what are we seeing from this? The pasuk is implying that Matza says that he finds the money, prat lematzui, to the exclusion that if the money was already there. So Rashi explains, prat matzah prat lematzui, he finds it, he gets the money now, to the exclusion of the money being already in his hands. But mocha sada chazaso, regarding someone who sells the field of his inheritance, of his heritage, achuzaso, of his heritage, kasiv, it says in the verse, v'hasiga yado matzah, and his hand, his hand reaches a matzah and finds, prat lematzui, to the exclusion of money which is found, im haisa geula zu, mitsuya b'yado, if this redemption was mitsuya, was found b'yado in his hand, kashemachra, when he sold it, ein kofenis alakeach, we don't force the lekeach, the buyer, lahachzira lo, to return it to him, lipados, to be redeemed. But what do we see from this? What we see from this is that the word matzah means that the thing never existed before. And that's the Gemara's question. The Gemara said before, going back a few words, lemeimra de matzah mikara, are you saying, does this mean to imply the word matzah means mikara mashma, that it was already there? So in the case of the Golas case, the implication is that what we're learning in the Braisa is that the victim already was standing there. That's what the word matzah means. Matzah mikara mashma, that it was already there. But here in the case of geula, of property, the word matzah implies that the money was never there in his hands. Like he found it mamish brand new for the very first time. Not that it was there, the money was already there. The exact opposite. The Gemara answers, Amar Rava, Rava answers, Hacha minyana dekra, v'hasa minyana dekra. The difference is that here we're speaking about the inyan of the pasuk, minyana dekra, meaning to say from the topic of the verse, we are inferring the understanding of the word matzah. V'hasa min, they're also minyana dekra. They're also from the topic of the pasuk, we are inferring the meaning of the word matzah as follows. Hasam, over there, in the case of the geulas, of the geula, of the redemption of the land, minyane dekra, it's of the same topic of the pasuk, meaning to matzah dumya de vehesiga, and the word matzah there is similar to the word vehesiga in the pasuk, where vehesiga yado, his hand reaches the acquisition of the money. So the whole the theme there, the context is that he's getting the money for the first time. V'hasiga yado, his hand is reaching the money. Mahasiga yado mahashta, just as the expression hasiga yado, his hand reaches the money. Mahashta is from right now. Matzah nami, so the meaning also of the word matzah is also mahashta, from right now. It's a brand new finding. But hacha minyana dekra, and here by the case of Golas, it's also minyana dekra, and matzah dumya diyar, and the word matzah is similar to the state of the forest, the yar of the forest, mayar, just as the forest, miyada, so midi di isay miikara, midi is a thing, di isay that there is, isay means there is, it is a thing, di isay miikara, that it is mikar from the very beginning, from the very, it was there already. Af matzah nami, so also the word matzah also is midi di isay mikara, is a thing that is mikar from the beginning, is already there. So the context is, in the same way that the forest where the manslaughter takes place is something which already existed, so also the victim also, like the forest, has to be someone who's already there, standing there ready to receive the projectile which is being thrown at him. So it's the context which teaches us the word matzah is different in each scenario.
Okay, so we're going to be starting from the next two dots where the Gemara quotes Hazorikas Evan v'chulei, etc. The one who throws a stone, etc. Now, The Gemara is going to be discussing the latter part of the Mishnah, where the Mishnah quoted Abba Shol. So let's just read the Mishnah again. Abba Shol Omer, Abba Shol says, Ma Chatovas Eitzim, just as the Chatovas Eitzim of the Pasuk, the chopping of the wood of the Pasuk, which describes the whole scenario of the Chiv Golos, is a Rishus, it's a optional activity that the person's engaged in. Af Kol Rishus, even all cases of Golos have to be in the context of doing something which is a Devar Rishus. Yotza Ha'av, to the exclusion of the father, Hamakas Beno, who's striking his son, V'harav, Haroda Es Talmido, or the teacher that is directing his student, V'shleach Bezdin, and the agent of the Bezdin. Okay, fine. So on this, says the Gemara, Amalei Hahumar Abonin. So Hahumar Abonin, that one, Hahu, that one, Marabonin, from the Rabonin, Amalei said to him, Larava. So one of the Talmidim in the base Medrash, one of the Rabbanan, said to Rava the following, Mamai de Machatovas Eitzim de Rishus. From what do we know, from what do you know, or from where do you know, the Machatovas Eitzim de Rishus? That, now, the mem prefix over here is a bit tricky. I had difficulty trying to figure this out, what the mem is doing there. The Gemara's question is going to be, is how do we know that the chopping of the wood described in the Pasuk is a Rishus activity? So the Gemara's question is, how do we know the Mechatovas Eitzim, that the chopping of the wood, the Rishus, it's of a Rishus activity? And again, I'm still troubled with how to fit in the letter Mem into that, because, you know, I mean, that from chopping of the wood, it's a Rishus. I don't know exactly how that fits in. I looked in the art scroll and they just say the chopping of the wood. So let's just go with that. So the question is, Mechatovas Eitzim de Rishus, from where do we know, from what knowledge do you know that the Chatovas Eitzim in the Pasuk is a Rishus activity, which is the whole basis of Abba Shol's drasha? Dilma, perhaps, Mechatovas Eitzim de Sukkah, or Mechatovas Eitzim de Marocha. Perhaps the Pasuk is speaking about chopping of the wood of a Sukkah, or chopping of the wood of the Marocha, of the pile on the Mizbeach. Maybe that's what the person's doing in the Pasuk scenario. And says the Gemara, Vafilu Hachi, abbreviation, Afilu Hachi, and even so, Amar Rachmana, the Torah says, Liglei, the guy goes to Golos. So Rashi says, Rashi over there. So there's no proof, really. There's no hechrach, there's no compulsion to say that the Pasuk speaking about a Rishus activity of chopping wood. Maybe it's talking about a mitzvah activity of chopping wood. And the halachas of Golos apply equally to a person who kills somebody in the act of doing a mitzvah. So this was the question that one of the Rabban asked Rava, to which Rava responded, Amalei, Rava said back to this Talmud, Kaven de imotza chotav, he makes the following argument, Kaven, since de imotza chotav, that if he found chopped wood already, let's say he found chopped wood already, lav mitzvah, then there's no mitzvah then to go ahead and chop more wood to make the sukkah or to make the pile on the mizbeach. So he argues, Hashtanami, now also lav mitzvah. It's also not a mitzvah. The proof that it's not a mitzvah to chop wood to make a sukkah, or to chop wood to make the pile on the mizbeach, is because if you had chopped wood already, which would be completely valid for the sukkah or for the marocha, you have no obligation to go out of your way now to chop more wood just to engage in the act of chopping wood for the sake of the mitzvah. You have wood already chopped, the wood was already chopped for some other purpose. You could use that wood. There's no mitzvah to go ahead and chop more wood. So since chopped wood is kosher for a sukkah, so then there's no mitzvah to go ahead and chop more wood for the sukkah. Let's see Rashi. Rashi says, Hashtanami, here now also kilo matzah chatuva. When he did not, kilo matzo, when he did not find chatuva, chopped wood, ein hachatova, mitzvah, the chopping of the wood is not a mitzvah. ala asiya sukkah, rather the making of the sukkah is a mitzvah. So the point is that you can't argue that chopping wood for a sukkah is a mitzvah. And that's Rava's response. And since the pasuk is describing chopping wood as the context in which the chi of galus applies, it doesn't make a difference. Even if he's chopping wood for the sukkah, it doesn't prove that chopping, that doing, that wouldn't prove that there's a chi of galus even when a person's engaged in a mitzvah. And thus, Abishol would be on strong grounds for saying it's only when a person's doing a devar rishus, a permissible, an optional activity, is there a chi of galus, but not if he's doing a mitzvah. So that's Rava's explanation.
However, Ravina now challenges that. He challenges this answer of Rava. Esave Ravina Rava. Ravina challenges Rava from the Mishnah itself. He quotes the Mishnah. He says, Yotza ha'av ha'makes b'no v'rav rodes talmido v'shlech bezdin. So Abishol said in the Mishnah that Golas doesn't apply to a father striking his son, and the teacher hitting the students, etc., and the shlech bezdin. So if Rava's contention is correct, that any time that if the entity is prepared, like for example the wood is there, and there would be no further mitzvah to chop wood to do for the sukkah, if there's wood already there for the sukkah, so then there's no mitzvah then to chop the wood. So you can make the same argument with regard to to the father striking the son and the teacher the student, because as he explains, as Ravina explains the question, he says lema, let us say kiven deilu gomir, since that if he'd learned, the student had already learned and was already a scholar. So the word gamir, actually the same word as gemara, and it means to learn. Kiven deilu gomir, since that if he had learned, the student had learned already, or the son had learned, lav mitzvah, there's no longer a mitzvah to teach him because he knows already. Lav mitzvah, Rashi adds in, lav mitzvah lahakosa, there's no mitzvah to strike him, because what are you hitting him for? Because he already knows. Sahashtanami. So now also, lav mitzvah. Now also, there's no mitzvah to strike him. So the same argument, in the same way that if you have wood, there's no mitzvah to cut more wood. So similarly, if the student has already learned, the son has already learned, there's no mitzvah to hit him. So now also there's no mitzvah to hit him. There's no mitzvah to hit him even now that he hasn't learned. I mean, the point is, the Gemara is making it, Ravina is making an argument and saying, like, he's saying that if you're going to say that there's, that on the basis of when a person has already, has the wood ready for him, for himself, there's no mitzvah then, therefore by extension there's no mitzvah to cut the wood afterwards. So you can make the same argument. If there's no mitzvah to hit him if he's already learned, then say there's no mitzvah also even if he's not learned. So that's the argument which he's making. And the fact that the Abba Shol says that there is still a mitzvah to strike him even in a situation where he's not learned, even if there's no mitzvah to hit him where he is learned, proves that if there would be wood there, or proves that and applying it to the case of the chatavas etzim, chopping the wood, it demonstrates that the fact that you have wood prepared, that doesn't have any bearing upon a situation where you don't have wood prepared. And indeed, there would be a mitzvah to chop the wood. And if there's a mitzvah to chop the wood, so then you could go back to the argument and say that the pasuk is actually speaking about, or you could conjecture that the pasuk speaking about even chopping wood of a mitzvah, i.e. he's chopping wood for the sukkah, or he's chopping wood for the marocha of the mizbeach. And you can't make any counter argument and say, well, no, there's no mitzvah in that, because there's no mitzvah if you have chopped wood already, therefore there's no mitzvah to chop the wood. It's not true. It's not a sound argument, because as we just said now, you could say the same argument by hitting the child, hitting the student. Just like there's no mitzvah if he's learned, therefore there's no mitzvah even if he's not learned. Not true. Not a good argument. That's Ravina's challenge to Rava. So the Gemara says back, and this is Rava responding back, and he says, Hossam, no, over there, in the case of the father striking the son, you can't bring a proof from that, because Afal Gav de Gomir, that even though that he has learned mitzvah, there's still nonetheless a mitzvah for the father or the teacher to strike the student or the son. The ksiv, as the pasuk says in Mishle, Yase bincha v'yinichecha, chastise your child, your son, v'yinichecha, and the word yinichecha is from the word menucha, tranquility, and there'll be tranquility for you. V'yitein ma'adanim l'nafshecha, and it will give ma'adanim delights l'nafshecha for your soul. I want to read a commentary, which I have a Hebrew one over here. I'll just read it to you. Don't worry about the translation. I'll translate it. It says as follows. It says from this pasuk in Mishle, Yesh ledayek shemeduba beben shekeis ochein hola b'derach yishara. This pasuk is speaking about where the child is going in the right path. Mikol makon, nonetheless, imrotz haav shegam ba'asid yisnaig habenkach. If the father wants that the son in the future should also behave properly in the future, nonetheless, yesh lo yasro, he should still chastise him, v'lakoso, and give him a patch here and there, gam ke'es, even right now. What we learn from this, he says in this commentary, v'nimtzim ke'en, it comes out, shetomid yesh mitzvah lahakos is a ben. Now, this is not necessarily talking about our day and age. It's a whole different discussion about this, about chinuch nowadays, but at least from the Gemara's perspective, that there's always a mitzvah to strike a child. The point is, which we want to derive from this discussion, is it's not called a heksha mitzvah. I didn't use that term before. There's a distinction between what's called the mitzvah itself and the heksher mitzvah, the preparation for the mitzvah. So the shaila is whether a heksha mitzvah is considered the mitzvah itself. So what we're saying from this is that what we were saying before, that chopping wood, the argument was, is that the chopping of the wood is merely a heksha mitzvah, preparation for the mitzvah, and it's not a mitzvah per se. And the comparison to the hitting a child, where Ravina said, well, also hitting a child also is only a heksha mitzvah, it's a preparation for the mitzvah, not the mitzvah itself. Rav is responding and saying, no, it's not. Hitting the child, even a child who knows how to, who's learned it already, it's not a heksha mitzvah, it's not a preparation for mitzvah, but it's even the mitzvah itself. As I'm continue reading this commentary, Vein's a heksha mitzvah, it's not a heksha mitzvah, a mitzvah atzvah, it's a mitzvah itself. Sheha ben mucha bidei aviv, that the son should be struck, should be hit by the father, kadei shegam ba'asid liyosim b'derach yishar, so in the future, the son should not depart from the right path in the future. So this is Rava's response, that the chopping of the wood is not a mitzvah. That's a heksha mitzvah. That's a preparation for the mitzvah, and that's what the pasuk is talking about. That's the context in which there's a chiyuv galus. But anything which is a mitzvah itself, there is no chiyuv galus. So that's the end of the argument that Rava gives. But the Gemara continues and says, let's see, reading Rashi's on this, lav mitzvah. Okay, so the Gemara continues and says, Hada Amar Rava. Rava then retracted and said, Hada, he came back and said the following. Lab milsehi da amri. It's not a matter, literally, that I said. So it's an expression. He's going back. What I said before, I'm retracting upon. Rashi explains, Lab milt mitzvahi da amri. It's not a word that I said. I think I said matter. Milsa can mean matter or a word. What I just said was not a good word. Rashi says, Raya Tova Mezu, a better proof than this. Haya li lahashivo, there was for me to respond to him, to Ravina, min a mikra atzmo, from the verse itself. To lav bahatova de mitzvah iri, that not with chatova, chopping wood of a mitzvah, is the verse speaking, iri speaking about. I can prove to you from the pasuk itself that we're not talking about chatovas eitzim de mitzvah, chopping wood of a mitzvah. Back to the Gemara, he says, again, lav milsa hidamri, it's not a word that I said, it's not a good answer which I gave, I can give you a better answer. The pasuk says, va'asheyoves reyo b'yar, and the guy, the man, comes to his friend in the forest. So the word which we're going to be medayik on right now is the word va'asher. And the word vasher, Rava says, really means an optional activity. It means like, and if he comes to his friend in a forest. Important, says the Gemara, as Rava says, de'iboyi ayol ve'iboyi lo ayol. The implication of the word vasher is that if he wants, he could go up into the forest. Ve'iboyi, and if he wants, lo ayol. He need not go up into the forest. So that's what vasher means, if. So it's implying, like, you know, and if he goes into the forest, obviously. So the Gemara says, he says, v'isal kadaitach mitzvah, and if it goes up into your mind that the pasuk is talking about a case of a mitzvah, if you think it's talking about a mitzvah, misagnya de lo ayol, is it possible? Misagnya, is it possible de lo ayol that he cannot go up? Of course, he has to go up. If you want to argue, Ravina, right? If you want to argue that it's a case of a mitzvah, so how can the pasuk use the word vasher, implying it's an optional activity? If it's a mitzvah to be going into the wood, to chop the wood, into the woods, to chop the wood for the sukkah, for example, misagi de la'il, is it possible for him to not go, to go into the forest? Of course he has to go into the forest to do the mitzvah. So that's Rava's argument. His argument is that it's talking about an optional activity. So Amalei Ravada Barava. Now, Ravada Barava is listening to this dialogue and he steps onto the stage. And he says to Rava, Amalei Ravada Barava to Rava, he says, what are you talking about? Kol hecha deksiv, anywhere where it's written, asher, the word asher, implies the iboyihu, that if he wants it means, or the iboyihu, it's if he wants, is an optional activity. That's not true. He says, alama'ata, rather from now literally, but it means, if so, like it's to introduce what we're going to introduce. Again, ela rather ma'ata from now, but I can't translate it that way. But I'll read the whole phrase again. Kol hecha deksiv asher de'iboyihu. Any place where it says asher means if he wants, ela ma'ata, if that's the case, how about this? The pasuk says, v'ish asher yitma. This is talking about a person becomes Tomei Mace and goes into the base of Migdash in a state of Tumah, his Chayv Koris. The whole Pasuk says, Yisha Shei Yitma V'lo Yischato. A person who is Tomei V'lo Yischato. If you look at the whole Pasuk there in the Bamidbar Pasuk, Perek Yotes, Ashe Yitma V'lo Yischato. Is Yischato, interesting word, the shorish of the word is chet, which means sin, but in the context it means purified. So a man that becomes tamei and does not become purified, the pasuk continues, v'nichrasa ha'nefesh ahi mitoch ha'kohol. His soul will be cut off from the congregation of Israel if he goes into the base of Migdash in the state of Tumah. Okay, so what are we doing with this pasuk? So the Gemara says, ish asher yitma lo yischato, a man that he becomes tamei and doesn't purify himself. So the argument goes like this: iboyi mitma, iboyi lo mitma. If the pasuk's implying that if he wants he could become tamei, if he wants he did not become tamei, if that's the conjecture that the word asher means optional, and such that if the pasuk's describing an optional activity where he had the choice not to become tamei or choice to become tamei, Rashi says, Iboy mitma, iboy lo mitma, oso chayiv locha kosov kores. Him does the verse obligate you, kores. Chayiv locha kosov, the verse obligates for you, kores, for this man. Again, oso him, chayiv locha kosov kores. Him, the verse obligates for you, kores. Im nichnas le mikdash betumazu, if he enters into the base of mikdash betumazu with this tumma. So if it's true that the word asher means optional, so the Gemara continues and says, so then meis mitzvah the lo sagid lemitma, a case of a meis mitzvah is a situation where a person has no one to bury him, a corpse lying on the side of the road, and you have an obligation to supersede anything to go ahead and take care of the kavur of this corpse. That's called a meis mitzvah. So a meis mitzvah the less, and even if you tama, even if you have to become Tomei and forego, for example, Korban Pesach and other such mitzvahs, and you're allowed to become tame. A meis mitzvah de lo sagi de lo mitma, a meis mitzvah where it's not possible that he cannot become tame. Hachi nami de potter. Indeed, also, he should be potter from going into the base of Migdash. He should be potter from kares by going into the base of Migdash. That's ridiculous. I mean, to say that the chi of kares only applies to a situation where a person had the choice not to become tame and he became tame, only then he's chayv kares for going to the base of Migdash betumah. And he wouldn't be chayv kares for going to the base of Migdash when he's a say the tumah where he had a chiv to become tame, like, as in the case of a meis mitzvah. That's untenable. That doesn't make any sense. So therefore, that's the proof that Rav Adah Bar Rava is using to demonstrate to Rava that he's wrong when he says the word asher means optional. It does not mean optional. It means that. Just simply, the simple pshat means that. So Rava can't say it means optional. So, but Rava comes back, he has a response, and he says, no, I still hold by my position that the word asher implies optional. And it's still true, though, that even though this pasuk says a person's chayv kares in typically an optional activity where he goes becomes tamei, but that wouldn't imply, though, that a person who becomes tamei for a meis mitzvah, he would not be chayv kares for going into the base of Migdash in the state of tumah. And the reason is because shani hasam, it's different over there with the case of a meis mitzvah to amakra, because the verse says tamei, turning the page, tamei yihyeh. The verse says, "Tame yihyeh." There's a stress. "Tame he shall be." So, "Tame yihyeh." "Tame he shall be" is mikol makom. In all circumstances, "Tame he shall be." Even for a meis mitzvah, he'd be chayv. He's chayv to become tame. Even he is chayv kares for going into the base of Migdash in that state of tumah. So, the stress of the word "Tame yihyeh" comes to include a meis mitzvah. Tumas meis mitzvah, that even though that's not an optional activity, nonetheless he's still going to be chayv kares for going to the base of Migdash in that state of tumah. That's what Rava would say the word tamei yihyeh is teaching us. So rejects us, or comes along the Gemara and says, as a challenge, asks the Gemara, but hahu mibayi leilaka detanya, that is needed for that which is taught in a brisa. In other words, the expression tamei yihyeh surely is needed for a different drasha, as is taught in the Braisa, Miboyilei, it's needed to the Gemara, to the Chachamim, the Ketanya, according to that which is taught in the Braisa, as the Braisa says, quoting the Pasuk, Tamei he shall be, Larabos Tevul Yom. That stress on Tamei Yiyah comes to include, Larabos, to include a Tevul Yom. A Tevul Yom is somebody who is gone to the mikveh, is just waiting for the setting of the sun to become fully tahor, and potentially also to bring a carbon the next day. That's called a tevul yom. Someone who's gone to the mikveh, who's immersed himself during the day. Rashi says, "L'rabbis tevul yom, shem nichnas l'mikdash anush kares." That if he goes into the base of Migdash, his punishment is kares. So that's what tameiya is being used for, not like Rava is suggesting. So, and the Braisa continues in expounding another phrase in the pasuk, "Tumaso bo, his tumah is upon him." That's Larabbas Mechusel Kippurim. That comes to include somebody who's lacking kapara. Rashi says, "Meusan tumos hadzrichas carbon." From those tumos, those states of tumah which require a carbon, the tevel, the hiriv shimsho, the taval. He went into the mikveh, v'heri shimsho, and his son set for him. V'lo hevi kaparaso, and he didn't yet bring his kapara, his atonement. I realize now I made a mistake when I said to Vul Yom, that's actually someone who's just missing setting of the sun. And Mechusel Kippurim is he's missing the kapara of the carbon of the next day. So again, continuing in the Rashi, "Lo hevi kaparaso," and he did not bring yet his kapar, his atonement, for nichnas l'mikdash, and he went into the base of Migdash, chayev, he's chayev kares. The arba tumos hein, there are four tumos, hatuunos carbon, which require carbon, and they are hazav, the zav, the zava, the yoledes, the woman who's just given birth, v'amitzora, and the mitzora. So what are we doing with this? We're saying that the two expressions tamayiya to masabo in these psukim are for a drasha, and the drushas which they are for are different to what Rava says the expression tamayiya is for. Rava wants to say tamayiya is coming to exclude these. Is coming to stress the chiyuv koras even for a person became tamei mace because of a mace mitzvah. Despite the pasuk saying asher, which sounds like it's optional, but only in optional situations is a person chayv koras for going to the base of Migdash in the state of tumah. Tameiya comes to include even a person who's tamei mace from a mace mitzvah that he's chayv koras for going to the base of Migdash that way, and that's all different to what this brisa is saying. So how does Rava get out of the fact that the brisa uses these psukim, tameiya for a different purpose? The Gemara says, Omalei, Rava said back, would say back to you, said back to him, to the challenger, who was the challenger, I forgot who it was now, it's Ravada Barava, right? He says back to him, Ana I me'od ka'amina. I say that the expression ode to Maso, still his tumah is on him, ka'amina, I'm saying. I'm proving it from that part of the pasuk, that it says ode to Masa Bo, and the word ode, still his tumah is on him, is extra, and that's coming to teach us about a mace mitzvah. Rashi says ma'od from still ka'amina, I'm saying ode to Masa Bo, still his tumah is on him. Ode krat yaseira, ode is a extra verse or an extra word, ledrashahu for a drasha. So we'll stop over there and hatzlocha. Have a good Yom Tov and a good Shabbos. Actually, you're listening to this after Yom Tov, so may I say to you.
Okay, so we're going to start the next Mishnah right now, and starts off with Ha'av Gola Al Yedei HaBen. The father goes into Golos through the son. I.e., if the father kills the son B'Shogeg, he's Chayv Golos. V'HaBen Gola Al Yedei HaAv. And the son goes to Golas al yedei ha'av, through the father. The Mishnah continues, Hakol Golin, actually let's do Rashi there quickly, al yedei ha'ben. Rashi says, Im hargo lebeno b'shogeg, if he killed him, hargo, if he killed him, lebeno, his son, b'shogeg, accidentally. And the Mishnah said, Hakol Golin, Al Yidei Yisrael. Everybody goes to Golas through a Yisrael. For Yisrael Golin Al Yidei Hen. And every Yisrael goes to Golas Al Yidei Hen through them. Al Yidei means through the hand of. Al Yidei Hen through their hand. Chutz Meger Toshav, with the exception, Chutz, literally outside, with the exception of a Ger Toshav, that a Ger Toshav who was killed by Yisrael, they would not go to Golas by killing a Ger Toshav. The Ger Toshav in a Gola al Yedei Ger Toshav, and the Ger Toshav himself does not go to Golas except by killing another Ger Toshav. Rashi explains, a Ger Toshav she'ein Yisrael Gola al Yodo, the Yisrael does not go to Golas through his hand. And the next Rashi actually belongs to the previous part of the Mishnah, Hakol Golin, Mefarish b'Gemara. It explains in the Gemara that Suye to include my what? The word hakol, everyone, has the implication of an inclusion. Says the Gemara, Ha'av Gola al Yedei HaBen. The father goes to Golas through the son, the Mishnah said. However, asks the Gemara, V'hol Marat, but didn't you say, Yotzah Ha'av Hamakas Beno, to the exclusion of the father who strikes his son? In the previous Mishnah, we said the father who strikes his son is not Chayv Golas. So the Gemara answers by saying that the Gomer, our Mishnah is talking about a situation where the Gomer, he'd already learned, so therefore there's no justification for hitting him and striking him, killing him, therefore it'd be Chayv Golas, to which the Gemara then challenges that again and says, V'homart, but you didn't you say in the previous, about the previous Mishnah, Afal Gab de Gomir, that even though he did learn, mitzvah ka'ovid, it's a mitzvah that he did. It's still a mitzvah that he's teaching it, that he's striking him anyway, even though he did learn. So the Gemara answers, Beshulya de Nagare. The Mishnah is speaking about a Shulya de Nagare. So a Shulya de Nagare, de Nagare, a Shulya is like he's an apprentice. With regard to a Shulya, an apprentice de Nagare of a carpenter. The son is an apprentice to carpentry. Rashi says, Beshulya de Nagare, Belimud Cheirish Eitzim. With regard to learning, or teaching, learning, I guess here, Cheirish Eitzim, carpentry of wood. Shena Malamdo Torah, the father's not teaching him Torah. Ella Umnus, rather a trade. Shulya, he gives a French word for it. So the Mishnah is speaking about specifically a Shulya de Nagare. He's an apprentice in a trade. And that's why the father's hitting him and striking him and killing him in the process. And he's Chayav Golas. That's the situation. So there's no mitzvah. We can't speak about any kind of mitzvah over here that the father is fulfilling by striking him. But then the Gemara challenges that as well and says, no. Shulya de Nagare, Chiyusahu de Lamde. A Shulya de Nagare, teaching a trade as an apprentice, as a carpenter, Chiyusahu de Lamde. His livelihood that he's teaching him, he is teaching him his livelihood. And, you know, that's a mitzvah. Rashi explains, Chiyusahu, V'yavzu mitzvah ala av lelamdo. Even this is a mitzvah on the father to teach him. De Yalfina la Mekra, that we learn this from a pasuk, the perek kama de kedushin, the first perek of kedushin, the ksiv, as it says in the pasuk, re'ei chayim im isha asher ahavta. The pasuk says where this pasuk comes from. I forget. I have to look this up where the pasuk comes from, but it's re'ei chayim, see life, literally see life. Im isha asher ahavta, see life with the wife, that you love. Or maybe it is a Gemara, straight a Gemara. It says in the pasuk, Rei chaim, see life im isha asher ahavta, with a woman that you love or did love. Hikish umnus shu chiyuso, the pasuk is connecting a trade, because the word chaim here is an allusion to a trade, to an umnus, to a profession. So hikish umnus, the pasuk is thereby connecting an umnus, a trade, shehu chiyusa, which is his livelihood, his life, leisha, to a wife, kashem sha'aviv chayv la'asiyo isha, just as his father is obliged to marry him off, isha, to a woman, kadaksiv, like it says in the pasuk, kachu levneichem nashim, take for your sons wives, kach chayiv lelamdo umnus. So also a person's obligated, the father's obligated, to teach his son an umnus, to teach his son a trade. So if that's the case, then why would he be chayev golos for this? Because he's doing a mitzvah. The answer is, degomer umnusa achrite. We're speaking about a situation where the son had already learned a umnus, a amnusa achrite, a different trade. He already knew a trade, so there was no further mitzvah. He had a job already, so now the father's busy teaching him something else, and now in this process, he kills him. So in that situation, he would be chayav golos because there was no mitzvah that he was performing.